Very, very briefly, I want to circle this back around just a little bit to this idea of we've been spending a lot of time thinking about identity. What shapes, if we can live from our identity, whatever that is, we will get to the place where it becomes a natural flow. Not that our flesh never gets out of whack, or we're never tempted, or we're never afraid, but when it comes, pushes back against you, you go, nope, this is who I am. And when Jesus came as a human to earth, he walked in several identities, and Nathan did a great job of sharing this idea of being a shepherd to his sheep, and we wanted to look at a couple other ones, and one today I just want to really briefly look at is this idea of kingship. And I'm just going to look at a couple verses, and I'm going to just hopefully you'll be able to reflect on this a little bit. Because if you want to be successful, if you want, however many years from now, for me it might be 20, 25 years max, I'm going to look my Savior in the face, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do? And I'm going to have an answer. Some of you, it might be 60, 70, 80 years in the room. But for me, it's not that much longer. And I'm going to have that opportunity. And I'd love for us to consider that we are something, whether we believe it or not. To us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and on, you know this very common Christmas promise. Do you know how long Israel operated waiting for this to happen? Ballpark number of years. Between this being uttered by Isaiah, or written or recorded, however that, and when Jesus' foot hit earth. Close to 800, likely, but between 750, 800 years. So there's this long-suffering idea that if you don't say, when I am tempted to think I'm an American, when I'm tempted to think I'm conservative or liberal or rich or poor or whatever it is, I am something. And I'm a subject of this king. I'm a subject of this king. And he's going to lead me. When you think about shepherding, it's a mix-mash, okay? These identities overlap. Generally speaking, a shepherd is thinking about keeping you safe and keeping you fed and keeping you together and making sure you're kind of okay. One of his prayers, right, his prayers is shepherding. It's his kids. He wants to do well to make sure he takes care of them and launches them well. This idea of king is this, now we have this sense of mission. And when it's messy. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Even around the world, God was giving signs. There was this expectation that people had been waiting 800 years. Maybe this was a remnant. Maybe those kings were remnants of people who had been in exile in Babylon. We don't know for sure. There'd be evidence for that for sure. And it should be neat. It should be clean. If you read that promise, it'd be, oh, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be, his reign will never end. It'll be amazing and happy. What happened right after this? I don't know how many, we don't know number. But I would guess many young baby boys were killed. Because Jesus said, I'm going to punch the prince of darkness in the nose, and I'm going to start this process to establish a kingdom. It's messy. And if you don't understand his kingship, his mission is messy, you'll grow weary, you'll lose heart, and you'll become an American or a software engineer or a retiree or an RVer or whatever it is. This is your future. This is your future. Revelation 19, I believe this is not allegory. I believe this is an event. This is going to happen. That's where I stand. There's different theological views of that. Hallelujah, for the Lord, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And this is one of those mixed up things where the systems become. It's not just here's Jesus acting like this, here's Jesus acting like this. He is a priest. He is a king. He is a husband. He is a shepherd. He's all of those roles. But this is your future. There's going to be an event that you will either be invited to or not invited to. And again, we're not going to give the theology of it. Not everybody will experience that the same, even if you're saved and have eternal security. Not everybody's going to experience this the same. But you'll be here. And it was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen and bright and pure. That's your identity right now. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. You get to clothe yourself for this day that's coming in the future. And I don't know if that's 50 years, 100 years. When it was written, it was 2,000 years. What we do know is that day is closer now. That's all we know for sure. It's closer than when he said it. We have less time to wait than the people who heard it. And then I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold a white horse, the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war, and that is your future. And we're going to follow him into battle, because the gathering, the suffering servant, the patience, the waiting will be over, and he will establish his kingdom fully on the earth. That is your future. Living in that, living into that, is essential because he did. He was so crystal clear about who he was and what he was here to do. Just conclude with this. So that promise is now the king has come. That's what we celebrate. The king has come. But it's not that Revelation 19 picture of the king, but the part where the suffering servant, it becomes for you, or it doesn't become for you. This is a choice you have to make. That's why I love hearing, walking with, enjoying people who are or set, who've made up their mind. So oftentimes that's people like that do go into ministry or missions, or establish some kind of domestic outreach to people, from the pregnancy crisis centers, to serve 6A, to whatever it is, there's this idea that we're here to participate in building this kingdom. And it becomes our authority, our North Star, our purpose. It becomes that, or it doesn't. But it won't just happen to you. You will make a choice to say, I am compelled, or I'm not interested. That is a choice you'll make. I'm going to respond that this is the most important thing in the world, or it's not. And when we think about Jesus and his king, that mission becomes pretty key. You, here's what you need to own, is you need a king. Americans will say, I don't need a king. I don't know how often or what the scheduled order is, but driving through central Loveland, evidently there's people that don't want a king. I'm not sure what all that's about, don't really care. I just said, I want a king. And I want the right king. I want to choose the king that is actually the king. Because if I don't, this is what's going to rule me. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not your passions that are war within you? We will find something that's important to us to give our life to. We will. Now, it may not be important on the grand scale. It could be comfort. It could be collecting Pokemon cards. Or whatever. But you will find something to live for. And you have the opportunity to live for the one true king that never loses track of the score, sees every act of righteousness, is constantly honored, constantly grateful, constantly blessing, constantly protecting, constantly shepherding, constantly arranging opportunities for you to see God in the land of the living and to see his kingdom advance. You get the opportunity to make that choice, to attach yourself to that king. We can't talk anymore about O come, Emmanuel, most of those promises are not fulfilled. Most of those verses, we don't get to enjoy those yet. It's just begun. So, if Jesus was constantly reminding himself, and he was constantly preaching, I'm a sent one, I only do what the Father is saying, I'm a man under authority, he's just so clear that his kingship was coming and it was important, but it shaped how he operated. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Never independent, never looking for a different system. If we If that was important for him to keep going back to and root his identity and mission and character as king in the way he lived, the way he saw things, how much more important will it be for us to begin each morning, each day, each thought with, I am a person under authority. Yes, I have a kind shepherd who's caring for me. And next week we're going to talk about being sons. And not in a gender way, but in the our lives hidden in the Son. But you also, there's this mission. And if you don't have a mission, you'll find one. And that mission will not be worthy of you. If it's another mission, it is not worthy of you. Oh, I'm filled with shame. No. Any mission other than submitting your life to the King of Kings is not worthy of you. You are precious in the sight of God. You are eternal. You are made in His image. You are destined to live a life joined with this great and glorious mission of King Jesus as He fulfills His ministry to reconcile all things to Himself. That's what we celebrate in this season. The beginning of this mission to complete it all. Let me pray. Lord, I pray we would be a people who honor You. Thank You for Ryan's story and Lindsay and their faith and just desire to bless their kids. And God, we look forward to partnering and supporting and caring for them into the future. Pray You would bless this new endeavor as well. Pray You'd bless this conversation here in a few minutes. You'd honor all that we're doing to shepherd our hearts back to a place of Your kingship. In Jesus' name, amen.